Hey there, welcome to LSAT Demon Daily. I'm Ben Olson, that's Nathan Fox. We're the founders of LSATdemon.com and our weekly podcast, Thinking LSAT. We have an email here from Anonymous.
Hello guys, I discovered your podcast / The Demon a few weeks ago and have been listening regularly since then. You've helped me change my mindset toward the test, comma. I no longer lie to myself calling a missed question a, quote, fluke, or by only looking at my highest score, or any of that garbage. I have a free account at The Demon currently, and have only just started using it. Up until this point, I have not spent a dollar on LSAT prep, and over the past few months, I've gotten myself from a 151 diagnostic up to regularly scoring 165, with an all-time high of 169. Up to this point, I have always tracked my wrong answers, looked for trends in the question types, and then tried to find resources and lessons to learn about that question type. However, I have plateaued at 165. Last five PTs in the last 5 weeks were 165, 165, 165, 165, 164. The Demon seems to place...
That's hard to do.
Yeah, it is hard to do. It's actually more of a statistical anomaly than it is a plateau.
Yeah.
But anyway, The Demon seems to place an emphasis on reviewing mistakes from practice tests rather than learning lessons then applying them to the PTs. Why do you do this? Can I answer?
Yeah, please.
Because it works.
That's why. Yep.
I mean, we do what works. We've been each doing this independently for 15 years. You know, like, I'm not beholden to anybody else's ways of doing the test. Nobody forces me to teach. I teach what I want to teach. And what I want to teach is, hey, let's look at the question you missed. You know, did you read it correctly? Why didn't you pick the right answer? Why is the right answer right? Why didn't you pick it? Why is the wrong answer wrong? Why did you pick it? And we don't need any lessons. We don't need any like meta analysis of like question types or whatever. Like, well, you tend to do this on this type of question. Bullshit. This question was perfectly solvable on the page. So all we need to do is just solve the questions on the page. We have lessons and stuff. And yeah, you can go look at those lessons if you figure out that you really don't know the difference between a necessary assumption question and a sufficient assumption question, then yeah, by all means, go to those lessons. But the bulk of your studying can just be one question at a time. That's what the drilling tool does in The Demon. It lets you just do one question and then you learn as much as you can right there. I mean, our best lessons are built into the explanations. You know, you can learn the lesson by learning that question. And it's a much more efficient way of learning than it is like, I fell down off my bicycle, so now I'm going to go read a lesson about bicycle riding.
No, figure out what happened. How did it feel? And you know, Nathan, we came to this through our own experience and obviously talking together and seeing what worked and what didn't work. But what was reaffirming to me is I think it was about 5 years ago, I read the book Make It Stick, The Science of Successful Learning.
Yeah, I read that.
Oh, you read it too. Oh, mm-hmm. Good. I forgot that. But anyways, it just confirmed with studies what we had already started to walk down this path, right? And it's like, okay, it was nice to hear. And it also gave us more insights in which we could incorporate into The Demon. But the bottom line is that you learn by doing.
Yeah, right. And you learn from your mistakes. So we fortunately are blessed with, 100 practice tests that we can work on.
Yeah.
Well, then why do we need to be looking at other bullshit? Like you're going to go read, you're going to go study some lessons. Okay. But there's 10,000 practice questions and
each with a mini lesson,
each with its own lesson to teach you. And by the way, they overlap a lot. So if you learn from any of these individual questions, you're going to see the same shit again on a later question. So it's just most efficient. I mean, we do what we think works and we've been able to get people 20, 25, even 30 point improvements with our method. So yeah, it ain't broke. So we're not going to fix it. We do it. Yeah, it's simple, but it's effective. I'm sure that you will roast my approach so far, and honestly, I'm here for it. I'll do whatever it takes to break 170 and hopefully go even higher. Whenever I review a problem I get wrong, I'm pretty much always able to find the right answer the second time around. comma. My LG is close to being a consistent minus zero, comma. And I feel that I am very close to making this test my bitch.
Okay. Whoa.
I appreciate you guys and the whole Demon team, and thank you for showing me that there is an alternative to graduating with $250,000 in debt. Yeah, there is an alternative. Yes. Law schools give extremely generous tuition scholarships for people with the right LSAT score, and if you improve your LSAT by 10 points, you go from getting denied at X law school to getting a full ride at X law school, which is why we say that one LSAT point is worth at least $10,000. So yeah, I think sounds like you're doing a lot of stuff right, but I think you're banging your head against the wall with this approach of tracking wrong answers and looking for trends in question types, then going and looking up resources and lessons. By the way, you're also doing a full practice test every week, it seems like, which is kind of a lot. I think that you're maybe getting lost in the forest. Right?
Yeah, it's all the same problem. Taking practice tests is high level. Focusing on question types is high level, right? You're
looking at your plateau with your numbers of 165, 165, yeah. 165. That's like super high level. And instead, it's like, well, the reason why that's 165, not a 166, is because of this question right here.
I want to give an analogy that may or may not be helpful for listeners, depending on how familiar they are with technology. But one thing that happens a lot is something on the website won't work, right?
Okay.
And we'll get this general feedback like, hey, this page isn't, I couldn't load this page, or I couldn't do this or whatever. And it's almost always useless because it's sort of like, what? Like there was a problem, refresh, did that work? And if it's a perpetual problem and we can't reproduce it, we want more and more details, right? I need to know exactly, okay, what were you doing right before that problem occurred? And once we can figure out the exact steps that were taken that led to the problem, then usually we can reproduce it and fix it pretty damn fast. Because it's like, oh, this is what's happened. But continually having these discussions, sometimes what will happen is, you know, we might get multiple reports of the problem, and it's like people are trying to look at, well, it's happened to a lot of people, and it's happening on this page. It's like, yeah, but just give me one person and tell me exactly what they're doing, and bam, it's so much easier for the developers to solve the problem. And I just think, like, when you have a problem on the LSAT, you need to zero in to exactly where you fucked up yeah. in that answer choice or in that passage, because that's the key to not only unlocking that question, but hundreds of others that are just like it. And until you get there, you're always just going to be skimming over the top and not really taking away these like home run lessons that, and I'm using the word lesson, but I don't mean actual lessons. I mean like takeaways from individual questions.
Yeah. I want to home in on this comment. Whenever I review a problem I get wrong, I'm pretty much always able to find the right answer the second time around.
Yeah, that sounds like someone, I had the same thought, I think, that you're about to say. Someone who's doing the question, getting it wrong, and then reattempting it. And then, oh, I got it right the second time.
So I got it. Boom. You know, like, move yeah. on to the next one.
Mic drop.
Yeah, which is not good enough because you're not looking closely enough at the wrong answer that you picked. And you're not being honest with yourself about really understanding why that wrong answer is wrong. If you don't really understand why that wrong answer is wrong, then you, no shit you can pick the correct answer the second time around, because you know it's not the one you picked the first time around, and there's probably only two answers that are even superficially good. And so, yeah. like, I want to know why exactly you picked that wrong answer. I want you to be clear about what makes it conclusively wrong so that you can hopefully not pick it next time. If all you're doing is just, oh, let me try it again. Oh, it's not B. Well, then, yeah, it's probably D. Check the answer. It's D. Yeah, okay, but you don't really understand why it's D. You just eliminated the most attractive trap and picked another answer and got it right. That's not really learning. Why is the right answer right? Why didn't you pick it the first time? Why is the wrong answer wrong? Why did you pick it the first time? Can you conclusively eliminate that wrong answer now? Can you conclusively identify the correct answer as being correct this time? That's what is going to lead to learning.
Can you predict the answer based on the passage?
Right. Could you have predicted now? The answer before you even looked at these answer choices? Yeah. And that's the kind of reviewing that you should be doing. It's not enough just to redo the question. That's dumb. I mean, that's part of it, but there's more to it than just redoing the question. Email daily. Thank you for writing in, Anonymous. Email daily at lsatdemon.com if you'd like to ask us a question or share some LSAT or law school admissions news. Thanks for listening.